Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris. We are here to talk about episode 7 of RuPaul's Drag Race, season 14. We are halfway done with the season, which is absolutely ridiculous to say. And we will be talking about everything from the soap opera that was this episode. And of course, we will also be touching on Drag Race UK versus the world with, oh goodness, all of the drama going on over on that season as well. Now, I am not alone, although unfortunately Beth could not be here. She is not feeling well, but hopefully she will be back on her feet next week to join us. But
she's fired.
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh gosh, well, as long as she's not acting like a dog, then I think we'll be okay. But you just heard his wonderful voice, and Aman Adwin will be here with me to break everything down. How are you doing, Aman?
Yay! I'm good. I'm just like off of a 4-hour stint of goose duck. So I'm sort of just, I'm like, my adrenaline is pumping. So, but I'm good. I'm glad to be back talking some more Drag Race. Yeah, it kind of feels weird that we're halfway through the season. This one's going by really fast. Like in comparison to season 13, I felt like that dragged so much. Like it just felt so long. But, you know, halfway through and it feels like we just started.
I totally agree. When Rue said that in the episode, I was like, oh yeah. We actually, now after this episode, because we believe there's, you know, 14 episodes in the season, and now because we've discussed this with Cornbread leaving due to her injury, how they were going to handle that with the number of episodes. And I think, Aman, this was their solution with essentially a non-elimination here.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't see it coming, because during the challenge, which we'll talk about, there was like hardly any negative critiques. I was like, oh, okay. Well, then we kind of see this coming from a mile away. So this essentially became an All-Stars episode, sans the elimination. You like lip sync for the win or for the legacy or whatever. Which I think, you know, a lot of people were sort of upset about this. I watched the Roscoe's viewing party video, and Bob, the drag queen, and Monet Exchange and Layla McQueen were the guests that day. And Bob was talking about how he just hates non-elimination episodes. And yeah, I can understand that, especially as a competitor, and even as a viewer. But I don't know, I kind of like this episode. I felt like it was a bit of a reset for some of these queens. And it was nice to have an episode where everybody sort of got, everybody sort of got like a good critique, and everybody's confidence kind of got boosted. So now I feel like we can go into the next episode where everybody's sort of like on an equal playing field. So I liked that.
And I totally get that, not liking the non-elimination episodes. But when you have a situation like this, it's really tough. What do you do? I can empathize with the producers where essentially they're like, well, we already have the chocolate bar save. So what are we going to do? We can't do a bring back or some type of buyback challenge, because theoretically they've already been sending queens home because they weren't planning for that. So then how, you know, how are you going to do that? And we've had challenges or weeks before in Drag Race where all the queens do really well. And it definitely feels like you're splitting hairs, and you have to just take the smallest of errors, and that's what puts you in the bottom. And so it was kind of nice to see so many of the queens praise for what they were able to bring this week. I've seen a lot of praise for this episode online, although, you know, I have my own particular thoughts. So I'm interested to just dig into everything with you, Aman, and of course to hear, you know, you were there at the bar. What, you know, what is everybody saying? You're the voice of the people today. Move over, Melissa Denny. We have our very own voice of the people. But we are going to talk about the Maxi Challenge this week. That's it. Just a Maxi Challenge, which was the Daytona Wind, essentially the soap opera challenge of it all. I guess the first question, Aman, is the fart reveal, I guess. I don't really know what else to say. What was your feeling when that was the gag for the soap opera?
I'm a bit of a child, so fart jokes are always going to get me. I was definitely that kid in the back of the class that was making fart noises and just cracking people up. So my proclivities were already being tingled at that point. And I understand that that's not everybody's cup of tea. But I think what makes this one sort of interesting is that they weren't in on the joke. So It was nice to see them sort of giving all of these facial expressions, because Rue knew what was going to happen. And so he's telling them, oh, do this, do that. No, more, 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 more. So that was really what took it over the edge for me. At the end of the day, yes, it's just a fart joke. But I think that sort of just speaks to why nobody went home, because this was just such a corny ass challenge. Like, anybody can do well. This is the lowest of brow. Like, I don't understand how you just don't do well in a challenge like this when production is pretty much doing the work for you. So I don't know if this is what they always had planned. Maybe it was just going to be a pure acting challenge, and maybe they would have, you know, been in on the joke that there was going to be farts shit going on. I don't know, but I liked the fact that it was a big reveal for them, because I should have known, like, Daytona wins, but I didn't see it coming at all. So I was laughing. I was in the bar laughing.
Well, what did other people think too? Because, like I said, I've seen a lot of positive feedback for this episode.
There were definitely a few people that were like stone faced the entire time, because I was looking around, and my friend that I was with, at first he was like, this is so stupid. Like, really, Rue? Like, and he's over there laughing. Like, really? And then as time went on and you get to see the queens reacting to the footage, then he was like, you know what? It is kind of funny. So I was like, just laugh. It's farts. Farts are funny. Okay. They're just funny. I don't care what anybody says. They're funny. I don't care if I get called immature or 6 years old. They're funny. And I'll take it.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better. I think I was probably your friend when I first started watching. I was like, wait, are you freaking seriously right now? Especially because the only thing I could flash back to was Rock'em Sakura getting essentially critiqued for having a fart joke and being like, that's like too low brow. Yeah. This whole skit was dedicated to that. But once I kind of got over that, and I'm so happy that you mentioned it, because it was the fact that it was almost like the genius editing or the Survivor editors this past season, where I kind of in my mind was flashing back to what Rue was having all the queens do, and knowing that with like, oh, make this expression, do this face, you know, with Georges, especially kind of digging into all of those. Did I leave the iron on?
Yes.
Knowing what the joke was going to end up being later, I think that definitely made it more entertaining, and it felt like more of a payoff than just something that was that stupid.
Yeah, that was that exactly. That was like that therein lies the humor. The fact that they don't know what's going on and he is over here just telling them to do all of these crazy facial questions, or some of them that just happened naturally that they were able to put farts in. It worked for me. I know that, you know, it did sort of, I will agree that it, you know, sometimes these acting challenges, they can drag. So I definitely was not laughing as hard towards the end. I was like, all right, let's get to the end. But I appreciated this. And I hope that they do things like this in a similar vein. Maybe not a fart joke the next time, but some other sort of like weird sound effect. But like sort of like in Big Brother, where they do like what the bleep. That would be really cool if they did another acting challenge where they were just editing out certain words or bleeping over them and making them seem dirty or naughty or whatever. That to me would be also really, really fun. So I hope that they continue to tinker around, because sometimes the acting challenges can just be sort of, when you're relying just on the queens to be funny and to have a sense of humor, sometimes some of these queens just ain't funny and they don't know how to improv and they can't really gel with one another when they're acting out in a scene because they're so focused on learning lines. But when you have like an acting challenge like this, with the sort of like putting stuff over it, I feel like that makes it a little bit more enjoyable for everybody. So, yeah.
it definitely becomes almost more of an editor's joke, though, because then it's like, oh, okay, well, how can the editors make it funny? But a lot of the challenges, the way they're edited together, can make or break a particular queen. You know, we saw this with Maddie Morphosis in the promo, the super teasers, where a lot of Maddie's jokes, it felt like, got cut, where Maddie's getting all of this, you know, props backstage by the other queens, and yet in the actual edited version it was like, where are the jokes? And you know, here, it's kind of where the editors choose to add that in, but at the same point, same time, it is up to the queens to have that over the top acting regardless of where those audio jokes are edited in. So I still think ultimately it comes back to the queens.
That's a good point, though, because you can sort of, like, especially because production is so heavy-handed anyway, because, you know, like, if they wanted one queen to win, they would just, you know, keep putting farts at any and everywhere. So that is, like, something that they would have to watch out for. But yeah, at the same time, it is like, if you don't give them anything to work with, especially when you have somebody like RuPaul or Michelle on set guiding you, and they can still come to the judging panel and be like, well, I know that you didn't know that the jokes were going to, or the farts were going to come, but at the same time, I kept giving you this directive and you just didn't take the note. So, you know, so I think that there's still ways to critique it. But luckily for this to be the first time that they do something like this, at least to my memory or my knowledge, I think it was a nice sort of like inaugural step, especially since no one is going to go home. I think it was just, it was nice to just, you know, everybody just kick back, relax, and pass win. Let go and let gas.
Just, yeah, exactly. Just let it go. No gaslighting this episode. Yeah. just gas. I will say, though, I don't know if it was because it, me, like, along with the queens, like Deja, I really love Deja's confessional, where she's trying to figure out what's going on. That was absolutely me. I was trying to figure out what's going on with the sound effects. I was like, I don't remember that at all. But because I was so caught up in trying to figure out what was happening, you could not tell me the plot. There was a wedding. Some hooker, like, I have no idea. I know that it's the three rival drag houses, but only because of the original setup of
Because of the pictures on the wall. I was like, I don't quite understand what is going on here. And Carrie Colby tweeted, she was like, I love that we, you know, and not to make light of this, because this is, you know, a really cool moment, but I was like, that's not a takeaway that I took from this. But she was like, I'm just glad that we got to see a trans woman of color being a bride on television. And I was like, that's great, but I don't know if this was
the takeaway.
This was the one that you wanted this to be the takeaway for, but you know what? Representation. I'll take it.
Yeah. And okay, was T.S. Madison, who, you know, was the fabulous guest judge, she was actually there, right? She wasn't like photoshopped in later or something? No,
she was there. She was definitely there. It was kind of weird that they kind of chose to leave that out. I felt like that would have added some spice to like the acting portion of the challenge. So that was kind of weird. My friend was so confused, though, because she, like, I guess he like went to the bathroom or like got a drink or something and then came back and then saw her in the corner. He's like, who is that? Like, was she there the whole time? I was like, yeah, she was like there like as soon as they changed scenes. And so a lot of people were confused about that.
But. Yeah, that was the thing. Okay, so there were the three rival drag dynasties. So we get the O'Haras, the Michaels, and the Davenports. And then it's like there was a wedding, but I think that... So Carrie, who was the bride, her fiancé was sleeping with Georges' character, I think, maybe, which is one of the Michaels girls. And then... somehow they were related. I don't like. I'm genuinely trying right now. And I can't and then, tell like, you.
Angeria and Lady Camden were like
they were lovers.
Lovers.
Yes, because it was like my long lost lesbian love or something like that. If I remember,
I thought they were actually going to kiss, but they never did. I was
Because when they were talking about assigning the roles, and Lady Camden is sort of the, you know, the one who gets stuck with the last role. Angeria's like, oh, we get to kiss.
Always flirting with one another. I was like, why didn't they go for it?
I know. I feel robbed. But so yeah, like genuinely, that's as much of the plot as I could even try to understand. So sorry, audience, if you came here looking for someone to explain exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, this ain't that kind of recap. we're not really sure what happened, but it was fun nonetheless.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Now, I think, so we've touched on this, the fact that there's no bottoms. But if there were bottoms, the assumption is that they would have been Deja Sky, Carrie, and Angeria. Do you think that that was appropriate for their performances this episode?
Definitely. I felt like their characters were sort of like the most muted out of the others. Even with some of the fart jokes that were getting put on Deja, like, once again, she wasn't really giving much to the camera, so it did not land as hard for her. And the same with Carrie. Like, I felt like she sort of was one note, and it's okay to be one note in acting challenges on Drag Race because it's literally just about acting a fool. But I felt like she didn't go far enough a lot of the time. It was just like this whiny bride, and that was kind of it. So yeah, definitely when they were like, "There's no bottoms," I was like, "Oh, there's bottoms in more ways than one. Like, we're not, let's not kid ourselves here," but whatever.
It's just the sliding scale, the category is. I felt like for Carrie and Deja, I don't know if it was the fact that they went first, and so maybe once the queens felt a little bit more comfortable, things were somewhat more natural, but I totally felt like it was very, it felt like they were trying, like Deja especially felt like she was trying to remember her lines to a certain extent, which Angeria also struggled with to the point of not remembering her lines.
Yeah.
Which was interesting, the fact that Angeria struggled, and she talks about this, like, "Oh, is this the week that I'm going to struggle?" Which she does, but fortunately for her, she doesn't have to have that feeling of actually being in the bottom because she's technically safe.
Right. It's interesting, though. Like, you would have thought that Angeria would have done pretty good at the challenge because, I mean, we've had one or have you had two acting challenges so far? Or just one?
Okay, so we had the, oh my gosh, we had the promo, the Super Tease.
The Super Tease, and then we had the Save a Queen one.
Yes, which they're both kind of improv acting challenges.
Yeah, and she did pretty well in both. So the fact that she wasn't able to replicate that success, I found interesting, because a lot of the time queens that do well in a particular challenge will continue to do well. They might not win, but they'll at least end up safe. So the fact that there's like a bit of a chink in her armor is, for this particular challenge, I find very interesting. And I'm like, okay, maybe she's not as rock solid as some people believe. And I wonder if the competition is starting to weigh down on her just a bit.
So I totally agree with both of those. I think that there's two pieces to this. I think one could be the fact that she's in her head. I mean, the fact that you have placed in the top or won every single week, that's a lot of pressure. And she does touch on that a little bit in Untucked. And she talks about how Jasmine was able to like talk her out of that rut. So there's definitely that mental component to it. I think the other thing that I realized as you were talking about the two other challenges that were the acting challenges is that she had either improvised or written everything. Whereas this was the first one where she was actually given lines. And so I wonder if that's the situation where maybe she excels, where she can just come up with her own characterization and then just either improv or really embody that character. Whereas for something that, hey, this is who you have to be, this is the description of your character, these are the lines you're gonna say, maybe that's where she struggles. So I don't know if there's gonna be another acting challenge this season, but if that is the case, I wonder if she's gonna struggle again.
More of like a comedian and less of a comic actress, I guess you can say. Like, she can write. She's like the opposite of Jujubee. Like, where Jujubee was like, "I'm a funny bitch, but I can't write jokes." Maybe she's like the flip side of that. Like,
I can
write jokes, but I'm not always a funny bitch on stage. So yeah. There was a little bit of Angeria. I won't say hate, but a little shade at the bar that I was at. So many people were sort of like rolling their eyes because they felt like Angeria was just such a front runner. And they were like, see, I told you, she's not that great. I'm like, chill out. It's one competition out of seven, and she's done pretty well so far. So
right, I think it's the desire to root for the underdog. So you know, the person who's on top, but. But she, you know, lives to slay another day. Thankfully, does not have to deal with feeling in the bottom, because I really do think, because all the other queens did so well, that if runway and sort of the past isn't really taken into effect, she could have potentially wound up in the bottom. Although probably Deja and Carrie may have been the bottom too. But whatever, they're safe. They get to enjoy Untucked. They don't have to worry, because all the other queens are in the top. So
yeah,
Georges, Jasmine, Lady Camden, Bosco, Willow and Diabetti, I like merge them together, all end up in the top, where as Aman, you mentioned, we have the lip sync for the win between Lady Camden and Daya. So, okay, flip side, do you think that this was the right top two?
I think so. I think Daya definitely walked in ready to steal the show, just had all of her little mannerisms down. She just really wanted to give it. I feel like I don't remember much of Lady Camden that much. And I'm trying to think if this was just a case of everybody else was just sort of on the same level and she just happened to be the best of the worser end. Like, because I feel like she had moments, but nothing that like really stood out to me as like, oh, Lady Camden is definitely winning this one. Mm-hmm. Like, I might have chosen like maybe Georges before I chose Lady Camden, only because of the fact that he made RuPaul laugh the most. And like when they actually showed us the edited cut, she was funny. So I might have chosen Georges over Lady Camden.
I think it's tough. I think a lot of these queens did well. I kind of feel like the fact that Lady Camden didn't win last week and had such an amazing runway this week is really what pushed her up into the top, because, oh my God, that runway reveal.
Yeah.
I genuinely was like, are we going to get two medical evacuations on the exact same season? I am not ready for this. And then when she got up, it looked so real. I mean, if this was an acting challenge, that's what she deserved the Oscar for. Like, she should have gotten the award just for that reveal.
Yeah, regrettably, because I think someone had come, I forget who came out before she hit the runway. But their dress reminded me of Brooklyn Heights' dress. I think it was the premiere episode of season 11 when Brooklyn wore like that sort of like superhero neon green and blue outfit. And I was showing my friend John. I was like, that looks exactly like Brooklyn's outfit. And he was disagreeing with me. And it's like, no, bitch, I know what I'm talking about. So I was in my phone searching for it. And so when it happened and everybody in the bar like was like gasping, I like looked up and then I saw like her get up and everybody's cheering. I was like, what? And I just, so.
No, you missed it.
I sort of missed the entire thing. But I went back and I watched it over and over again. And I still, for the life of me, cannot see how she got that fucking mustache on. I'm looking at the part where like, I just don't see her hand go to her face. I just don't see it. All I see, maybe the camera like pulled away right when she did it, but I watched it so many times. I'm like, how did she do that? Because it wasn't there to begin with. And then all of a sudden, it's there. It was so good.
So it was Jasmine Kennedy who had on that like graduation cap with the green like bodysuit with the blue and the green. Mm-hmm. So it was Jasmine Kennedy. And yes, that's the thing is, okay, so, you know, she starts with the big hair. That one, the hair makes sense, right? You fall forward, the hair kind of falls off. We can actually see it happen. But look, where is the, is it in her hand? And she like falls on and like shoves it on her face. I think that's what happened.
It has to, but she does it so well that it just looks so seamless. I'm like, she must have practiced that. Some like her knees must be banged up to have to be practicing that like so much. Like,
and she also tears off the skirt thing as well. I mean, it's not like a complete skirt, but it's to reveal the chaps also. So it's like,
a multi reveal.
It's amazing. And I think for me, we've complained about this with other reveals on the finales and things like that, the lip syncs for The Crown, where, you know, for example, oh my God, who is it that looked like the Jiffy Pop? Aquaria, who, you know, just is this like big poofy thing, and you can absolutely tell there's going to be a reveal under it. The fact that Lady Camden did this, and I had obviously no one had any idea that it was happening. That's like truly what's so gagworthy about it. It's just, oh my gosh, it's just outstanding. Yeah.
That's how you, I mean, that's how you do the reveals. Like, it's got to be, it's always got to be unexpected. You cannot see it coming. It's got, and it's got to be sort of be done in a way that isn't too, you know, like we've seen the flip down the skirt and it turns into a dress. We've seen, now we've seen how many like wig reveals. Although, like I said, I was watching the Roscoe's, viewing party, and Monet talked about how she went to the show, and I forget who it was, but they were talking about queens that they want to see on Drag Race, and they mentioned this one queen, and she did a wig reveal where she ripped off one wig, and then she ripped off another, and then she ripped off a third one, and then she went for the last one, and everybody was like, okay, what else is under there? And she rips it off, and it's like a skull cap, like you see the bone of the skull, and then she rips that off, and then you see like the brain. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I need to see that. So it's like, you just get, it's either you need to like go like as far as you can go with these reveals, or you just need to find a way that it just has not been done before. And I felt like that was a nice way to do it, like to pretend to injure yourself. I just love how tepid RuPaul was. He's like, oh shoot.
Like, yeah, like she could just be really hurt. She could have just broken her arm. It was like,
oh. Just gonna sit there, like,
yeah.
I wonder. I guess she had to have told production that was gonna happen, right? Because like, you have to imagine that they would have like, someone would have been like, someone like one of the PAs or something would have like run out and like ruined the entire illusion. So I'm sure she was like, I'm gonna pretend, I'm gonna fall. Don't. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. Don't come for me. I'm just gonna get right back up and I'm gonna slay and. Slay she did.
Yeah. It just amazing. So anyway, because, you know, the challenge is both the runway plus the challenge, I think that just how do you not reward that, right? Like, she was already good enough and everybody else did really well, but this kind of just, I think, pushes her over the edge. So and because I thought she should have won last week, this also kind of felt good to actually have her be rewarded for that. But then in terms of that second spot, yeah, I think Daya did really well. The critique of Willow being like Moira Rose, I thought she was still funny. So I was like, well, I don't really get that.
Yeah, critique. People do that all the time where they're like borrowing characters, and Rue loves that shit. So like, I mean, that's the whole point of Smash Game. So
and it was mostly, you know, Michelle that seemed to be bothered by that. So at least Ross and Rue didn't seem to mind so much. Jasmine's just terrible acting was so perfect for opera.
She is so lucky. Oh my God.
I'm about to bust. So bad. It was so bad. But it was so perfect, you know, because it was so bad. So thank God this was a soap opera challenge and not something else. I couldn't imagine if it was a different category of acting. And then Georges, I think the ability to respond to Rue and those types of cues where Rue is giving you feedback and respond to that, I think that's also something that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then, you know, Bosco as well. I think Bosco, you know, was the older lady, and I felt like also took direction well, although I would say nothing like super, super stood out about Bosco to me, but I think it really could have gone anyway.
I will say, man, like I have been fairly down and out about my draft picks because I've just been getting such rotten luck. Although the only one that I do blame myself for, because choosing Maddie Morphosis was a choice, okay? And I did not have to do that, but I just wanted to. But in terms of Georges, like, I still don't see her winning. I don't. But she's putting up a good fight. Like, I feel like she's done. She's, you know, whether or not she should have won last week, obviously, that'll be debated to the end of time. But the fact that she was able to snatch a win and then perform pretty well, like, towards the top, be in the top for the next week, I'm like, okay, well, then maybe I have like a bit of a stake in this for longer than I'd expected. Although I will say, you know, a bit of adjacent news. I don't like the way that she was acting this past week. I was made aware of it because I was sort of like being a champion for her at the place that I was at. And my friend let me know about this whole thing between her and Cynthia Lee Fontaine. It was just, a mess. So apparently, for those of you that don't know, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, I think she was either on the pit stop or tooted or booted or something. She was on one of those shows with one of the queens where they talk about the looks. I think it was the pit stop. And she said something along the lines of, and it wasn't in a rude way. She was just like, yeah, I think that all the girls did amazing, but I don't really understand how Georgia Swan or whatever. And they were tweeting. And then I think she went further on Twitter to talk about it. And Georgia's tweeted under that, that's why your car is messed up. And apparently, like, earlier that day, Cynthia Lee Fontaine had just been in a car accident. So probably not a good thing to get. I mean, I understand, like, feeling sensitive, because I'm sure that George has probably got flooded with hate messages talking about, bitch, you shouldn't have won. That dress was trash. How did you win? I'm sure she probably got all that. And I'm sure there was, like, some, like, she just got volatile. She just wanted to defend herself. I understand that. But maybe don't talk about life or death situations like that in such a, like, coarse manner. And on top of that, the fact that she was at the Roscoe's viewing party the week prior and got Monet and Monique mixed up. It's just like, oof, you are not having a good, like,
yeah,
off season right now. So I want to root for you. Don't make it hard. Like, you seem so, you're like sweet as pie any other time. And now you're like, the claws are coming out. It's like, oof.
Yeah.
Fair, I have definitely mixed up Monet and Monique in name. Obviously, I know they look absolutely nothing alike, but I have definitely said Monique when I meant to say Monet a lot of the time, and vice versa. So I won't give her too much grief about that. But the Cynthia shit, not a good look.
Yeah, not a good look. I, you know, she's so young. I am hoping that this is just a byproduct of being so young and sort of just saying the first thing that pops into your head without mm-hmm. really thinking if you should actually say it or not. Mm-hmm. So my hope is that, you know, she does come across as a really sweet person. So I hope that that's who she is and that these are just right. missteps. So I would love to see her. I don't know if she's actually apologized for that, though, because I did see the original tweets, but
and that's what I was like. I didn't want to believe it when my friend was telling me. I was like, are you sure they're not, like, you know, like, friends? And she was just, like, being, like, shady.
Joking,
and, like,
yeah.
No one else knows that. And he was like, I don't think so. I think that she was actually pissed off, because I was like, I don't know. Maybe, you know, they're both Latin. I was like, maybe they have, like, a little Latin sisterhood going on. But from the way that everybody is looking at it and taking it, I don't think so. I think that George just thought that she was given a real comeback, and I'm like, no, that's not a serve, girl. Like, you don't want it. That's, that's
yeah. I was thinking she really did something. It's like,
no.
All right. Well, we'll see how that develops. I think the other thing, sort of in the same drama vein, is the fact that they actually gave Diabetti a spot in the top. I mean, not just because all the queens were in the top, but then to actually reward her with the top two spot. I was totally convinced that they're like, we are going to psychologically abuse this queen and never give her a win, even if she deserves it.
Yep.
So it was nice to have that element, even though, you know, she doesn't win the lip sync, which I totally agree. I think Lady Camden slayed. But I was shocked and happy, honestly, that they gave it to her.
Honestly, I'm starting to think, like, it might be a good thing to be that one queen that continuously harps about getting a win, because it's such good camera time. Like, because either the producers are going to give you the camera time to continuously dash your hopes and dreams, or you're just going to, you know, you're going to just get the camera time because you're the only queen continuously being mad about being safe. So either way, you're getting the screen time. So this might be, Jan might have been on to something. That's all I got to say.
It's not a bad shout. I mean, especially with a show that's so overproduced like Drag Race, they are looking for those storylines. And that is a built-in storyline that they love every season. Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely a way that you can ensure that you will get camera time. You know, it's a lot of emotion for safe. Just have mm-hmm. a lot of that emotion and untucked, especially when you are declared safe. I think that that will get you what you need. Now, will it give you a top two spot? I mean, definitely worked here for a Diabetti, but mm-hmm. I don't know if it would always work. We'll see.
And if you're messing up and you know that you're not going to win the episode or the season, just break your ankle and then they'll just bring you back for the next one.
There so. You go. Yeah. Just, you know, when you have your fake fall, make it a little less fake. Oh, man. All right. So what else do you want to talk about? Let's talk about the lip sync. So this is Blondie One Way or Another. I have my opinions. I think that Lady Cam did an absolutely fabulous job. I mean, she is a dancer. She talked about this is the music that her mom listened to. So obviously there's an emotional connection there as well. I think she's been so starved for a win to just like put all of that emotion out on stage. I mean, from the first 10 seconds of the song, she is giving it to you. Mm-hmm. So this was something that I thought was almost an open and shut case for Lady Camden here.
It's always nice when the queens get songs that they personally connect with, because I feel like that doesn't happen a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. It's usually, you know, they're usually popular songs that everybody loves, but it's always really cool when there's like someone, when a queen is like, oh my God, this is my shit. This, nobody can beat me in this. And it's always nice to see them follow through. It's kind of like with Valentina in a different kind of way, because it was just an Ariana Grande song and she went home the last time, but there was still like a bit of like, there was a story there with like the lip sync song, and that's always fun to see. So I thought she did a great job. I thought the look that she had, like just being David Bowie, was really mm-hmm. aesthetically pleasing to match that up with Blondie. I thought that the whole era, the whole aesthetic was just good. And so she did a good job. That split where she just like does this instead of, because it's like the split where you do this.
Yeah.
It's like a vertical thing, but she was just like horizontal. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Like where you, like a scissor versus a different type of scissor.
Scissors versus like what are those? A shears.
Scissors versus shears. And she's obviously a dancer. And so this is just totally within her wheelhouse. I thought Daya did well, but just, I think Lady Camden just smashed it. So.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. Well, we talked about Lady Camden's runway look. The category was chaps this week. Are there any other looks that you want to touch on here?
I love a good chap. I love chaps. Georges was beautiful, but I have to agree with Ross.
Not
like,
chaps.
Not chaps. Mm-mm. Like, come on, girl. I was not as enamored with Diabetes' look the way that everybody else was. I did like the disjointed sort of aesthetic that it had, but I just, it wasn't really my cup of tea. I'm trying to remember. I thought Deja looked good. Angeria was sort of like,
hers was the gold.
Yeah, I thought hers was sort of fine, like very just sort of pageanty. I feel like we've seen that sort of chap look before, but mm-hmm. this is at least like the third time that they've done chaps, which I'm not complaining because I love chaps.
Mm-hmm. I felt like Deja's shape was really gorgeous.
Yeah, and, it was really
and
nice.
So I can't get over that. I think that that's just like looks so good. The Jasmine look, I didn't get it, because her graduation cap covered the chaps back part of it, which I felt like defeated the purpose of chaps.
I didn't really get that either. It was kind of strange.
Because I felt like the rest were good. And then that one, I was a little like, I'm not crazy about it.
And like, what's the story there? Like, what's the, like, you're graduating? Like, I just,
superhero graduation.
Somebody was like, thanks for letting us attend Alyssa Edwards' graduation. But you know, to be compared to any queen, that's a really good one to be compared to.
Yeah,
I liked Carrie's. I just wish that there was just like a little bit more form to it, or maybe just a little less hair so that we can see
mm-hmm.
the actual chap, because I feel like it sort of got hidden and it just looked like just a mess of hair.
Right. I mean, that's the same thing that I has for Jasmine. So I pulled Jasmine's up if you're watching the YouTube version. So like, that's the thing, is that like it felt covered, and then let me see, because Carrie's, it definitely had that same thing. Look, she had what, 96 inches of hair or something like that. I mean, it's a lot, but it did kind of in the same way cover. And then she had that, I don't even know what it was over it. Like, I don't even know what you would call that, but it also covered the chaps in the same way. I feel like when you have a theme of the runway, you kind of want that to be the centerpiece. Like if it's the hats runway, you want the hat to be the centerpiece. If you have the chaps, you want the chaps to be the centerpiece mm-hmm. of the look. So, or at least so integral that you have to have the chaps in order for the look to work. And
right.
those two, I think, were the least Although they were, I think, actual chaps underneath there, unlike Jasmine or unlike Georges. So
I think I probably liked. Oh my God, I just forgot who I was going to say.
Bosco's.
Bosco, yeah. I think I probably liked hers the best. And yes, it's probably the most stereotypical chap out of all of them. So I do understand why Dai was getting so much praise for her runway, because it was a, you know, you don't really see pantsuits becoming chaps that much. So I did think that there was something to be said about that, but it just wasn't my personal cup of tea. So I think I liked Bosco's the best. I think if Georges's had actually been chaps, then she might have been higher up on my list. But
The Bosco's also, she had the Rock of Love reference, which also just made me really happy. That completely unrelated to the look, but I felt that. And I mean, also because of the chaps category, we also get the Folsom Street Fair conversation, which I mean that's been not Folsom Street Fair the Folsom Street Fair specifically, but sort of this conversation about pride parades was kind of what came up out of it. It was like, you know, there should be elements of pride that are not meant for families and children. Yeah. Like, we still want that part of being able to express your sexuality. So this was definitely, you know, some gay history for the kids.
I did sort of like that she said that, because I can be a little bit of a prude sometimes, and like sometimes I am like, oh my God, why are the gays so raunchy? Like, why are we like this? Why is it always, even like just a scroll down Twitter sometimes, it's like, what are y'all doing? Like, really? It is 9 a.m. Like, But I do understand that, like, you know, when there's like a sexually repressed group, mm-hmm. they sort of have to, like, you know, run and hide in certain circles to be who they want to be. And it's not as if, like this particular demographic is any more raunchy than the straights, because the straights are just like, we see straight raunchy shit all the time. You know what I mean? And it's just considered normal. So, I did like that she said that, because it did make me feel like, you know what? Yeah, I kind of understand that. Yes, pride is supposed to be great, sort of like in your face and everything, but there are some parts of it that are meant to be, you know, more adult themed, and that's okay. Like, go out there and be who you need to be.
Yeah, right, exactly. And having spaces that can be for both, right? Because I totally get the, well, being able to, if you have a queer child, being able to bring them to a space where they can experience queer culture in a way, like, obviously that's important, but obviously, you know, there's other things that especially that have historical meaning that you want to try to keep intact. So that was just a really sort of felt a little bit tangential discussion when Bosco was like, so chaps, does anybody have any experience with, you know, like the leather daddy community? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure Rock'em Sakura does.
That's right. Oh, poor Rock'em Sakura. This really was the Rock'em Sakura memorial episode, if I had to say. All right. What else? Is there anything else from this episode? You know, we had the Daya Betty drama, but I almost kind of felt like because Daya was in the top two, it felt like that drama was almost just quenched like in the same episode, because she apologizes, they have the conversation in the workroom. So it felt really heavy kind of at the beginning of the episode when they come back from the previous week, when, you know, Daya is upset about everything, but then it kind of gets resolved, very much a sitcom-esque episode, like all the drama gets wrapped up in the 1 hour episode.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, they just needed like a villainy role right then and there, and she just happened to fit the bill. But I don't think that Daya Betty really has any interest in actually being the villain, especially if her whole arc right now is, I need to win, I need to win, I need to win. So yeah.
And it's like, you kind of got to win, or at least, you know, you got the top two.
You got you got the top placement, you got the critiques, you know, you weren't sent straight to the back. So yeah.
And I think there's also something, the fact that there were no bottoms, it would at least make me feel like, oh, and of all the top queens, I was the top, the even top, if I didn't end up winning. Top. So tippy top, no bottoms here. All right. The last thing that I want to touch on was a moment from Untucked, which if you haven't seen, this is all about Jasmine Kennedy. So she also had a post on social media on Instagram where essentially she has this announcement in Untucked and then has this post where she's able to talk about finding her true self and to come out as a beautiful, confident trans woman, which you love to see it. You love to see people finding themselves. We have, I think, 4 trans girls on this season between Cornbread, Carrie, Jasmine, and Bosco. So lots of trans representation, which considering where this show started is absolutely amazing. And you love to see it. So all of the warm feelings out there for Jasmine Kennedy, like it was so emotional. And I'm just really happy that she's able to go through an experience that has been, although I'm sure very intense at times, something that ultimately hopefully was positive for her.
I think it's so special too that we are getting to sort of go through this experience with them, like as the season is as airing, because it, you know, I feel like a lot with trans people, sometimes it can be hard to sort of relate to them in a lot of ways. And you sort of get like this one image of trans people where it's like either they haven't begun to transition yet, and still, if they even want to, and they still carry a lot of characteristics of whatever gender or sex they are transitioning from. And so people that don't really understand what it is to be trans, all they see is like someone that's like, oh, it looks like that's just a man. It just wants to be a woman, but it's a man. That's all they can see. Or you see the opposite end where they've already fully transitioned, and then you get the whole commentary. It's like, oh, well, I never even knew. And so you either get like that conversation or the other. So it's nice that we actually get to see like the journey that actually happens in between, so that people can understand that this is not just like an on and off switch. Like this is something that actually people go through, and it's a process, and it's different for each and every queen. So 4 different experiences on one season. It's just great. And there was a trans woman that said this about the show Pose like a couple of years ago. And she was like, it's just so important that we get to see trans women be trans on TV, or trans men be trans on TV and then leave and still be trans. Because a lot of the time you see people that play trans people in shows and then they go back to being, you know, cis. And it's like, it's sort of like, continues this narrative of it's an act. It's something that you're putting on, as opposed to, no, that is literally just their existence. So I think it's great that we get to see 4 different stories all happen in one season at different portions of their transition. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that that's part of what helps with the empathy of it all, because when you have something that you just have very little experience of what it's like for another person to go through that. So, you know, my roommate in college transitioned while we were living together, and I know firsthand, I mean, you know, obviously I haven't gone through it, but to know how challenging that experience is. And so to see Jasmine break down at just recognizing, yeah, this is me. This is who I am. This is something I need to do. I think it's just so emotionally empowering, and I have you know, nothing but good vibes for her, and like wish her all the best, and totally agree with you about the representation, that we're able to see how diverse it is, especially because we've been able to see how diverse the drag community is. And we want to see more and more examples of that. And this is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about representation. So very happy that the show chose to air that, even if it was in Untucked, but very happy for Jasmine. Okay, that does it for season 14. So next week, they're going to be recording a retro hit music song thing. That is like 60s vibe, I guess, is what they're going for. So we're going to be getting, I assume, lyrics written by them, recording with Michelle, and we shall see how the queens fare in their first singing challenge of this episode.
I just want to know, man, like, who's got that chocolate? Like,
I know.
It's getting down to the wire now.
Yeah, so that's true. We didn't get to see any chocolate unwrapped this episode. We do still have, let's see, how many queens do we have left? 9 still, I guess, technically. Yes. So one of them has it. We shall see if next week is the week where we see the gold. Okay. Let's talk about UK versus the world. So if you are stopping out here, if you do not want to be spoiled on Drag Race, UK versus the world, Aman, where can people find you on social media? What do you have going on?
You can find me at Aman Adwin on all platforms, covering Celebrity Big Brother, Euphoria on Post Show Recaps, The Choir Room with Glee. So you can find me everywhere doing everything.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. Mike Bloom and I are going to be back in the next week or two to do a preview podcast for the new Survivor season 42, which is coming up. And then Puya and I will be covering The Masked Singer when season 7 starts, which is coming up also soon. Our cup runneth over. And
is this going to be the Rudy Giuliani season? Or you think
yes,
full
yes, it will be. God, I don't even... I can't.
It's just such a choice. It's such a choice.
I have so many thoughts. I have so many feelings. I will save that. So definitely check out the Masked Singer podcast if you heard any of that drama and are curious to know what Puya and I are going to say about it. And then Aman and I are also going to be talking together with Taryn and Rob to cover the Sunday night episode of Celebrity Big Brother. So if you want to hear our thoughts on that, or if for some reason you're listening to this first, go check us out. We got lots of thoughts. Mm-hmm. Okay. UK versus the world. We have to start with the Jimbo elimination. The elimination that rocked the internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Aman, what do you think?
I loved it. I loved it. I'm sorry. I loved it. Look, play the game. That's always going to be my stance on these things. Mm-hmm. Play the game. Like, yes, she's a fan favorite. I get it, but I am so glad that Pangina had the balls to do it, because I don't want to see a season where they're like, oh, well, she's a front runner, so it's just not fair. That's the point. That is the point. Take her out when you get the chance. And she had a bad week. She had a bad week. All of you guys are going to have a bad week at some point. Maybe some of you won't. And then you don't have to ever worry about it. But she was doing well. She had a bad week. You take the shot. Yeah. And so it is what it is. And if this were going to come down to like a lip sync for the win, then she was always in trouble, because she's not a good lip syncer.
No.
So it might have been a hogwash anyway. So
I see, that's the thing. Okay. I was so sad when Jimbo was eliminated. However, I do think Jimbo deserved to be in the bottom. I think Jimbo did the worst.
Yep.
And I think this is the biggest thing. If Pangina can say, I eliminated her because she was competition, then I will have the utmost respect for Pangina. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, because she also, I think, did the worst in the challenge, which is what Pangina was trying to say, was that in this week, to step up to the challenge, that was what you had to do. And I feel like Jimbo was the one who didn't do it. Because I also agree that Juju didn't do that bad. Like, I get that they wanted more because it's Liza, but at the same point in time, I didn't think it was that bad. I thought Jimbo did way worse. So
yeah,
I can see it. I can see the decision of why she chose to go that way. But then you look at the track record, which we've heard other queens take into account. Juju has been in the bottom before and probably should have been in the bottom week one as well. So yeah, when you have a queen that's not really giving it to you, you know, is this a Roxy Andrews type situation where she, you know, just wants to bring her along, or what is going on here?
She's going to get like, look, I'm holding out a little bit of hope here that maybe Jujubee is, maybe this is a bit of strategy, and maybe she's going to wait until the end and she's just going to start slaying. I just find it hard to believe that that's the case when she literally gets to pack everything beforehand. And so you mean to tell me that she's banking on the fact that she will be able to at least win challenges or not get voted out and still bring those shitty looks? Like, I know. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. This really could. I think Hoso Teratoma from Dragula season 4 was right. I think Juju said, look, I am a legend in these streets. I got asked to be a part of this. I'm coming. And I'm collecting my coin and I'm leaving. And I think the production also has a bit of to blame here, because y'all know what she brought. Y'all know, you tell them what they're supposed to bring ahead of time. So you know what look she has. you could have been like, you know what? We're actually going to end this right now. You know what? Let's get another American up in here for some representation because Juju, you're not giving it. But they didn't. And they brought her anyway. So...
what do you do? I think a lot of people have a lot of emotions, myself included, about this season. So again, we'll repeat, please no like anger towards anyone. Just use this as an opportunity to process your own feelings. Because you kind of want to blame somebody. You're like, whose fault is it? Is it Jujubee's for not trying hard enough? Is it productions for making this mistake? Is it Pangina's for playing the game? No, it's no one's fault. Like, this is just how it's going. Okay. This is how it's working. And we are taking things one step at a time.
Yeah.
The good things, Pangina, oh my God, it is so wonderful to see a lot of people really start to fall in love with her. You know, I mean, I had seen Drag Race Thailand seasons 1 and 2, and so I like knew her, but it still is about the queen. You know, like she's not really doing like that much performing, although she is, you know, in drag for a lot of it. But this is just nice to see her have such confidence and just slay everything, essentially. But then on the other hand, now Jimbo gone, who is going to beat her?
Yeah, I'm at this point, I am sort of like, I mean, as much as I'm glad that Pangina made that decision, I'm also like, damn, like there goes another one of the North Americans. Like, if I'm being ethnocentric about it all. Like,
yeah, right. We're including more. I mean, you know, I guess we have Mo Hart, who also, you know, in this episode, I think it was this episode that talked about her, you know, name change about wanting to give Mo Love, Mo Hart. Should we respect that as well? But I think to me, she's really the only other one. I mean, Janie has also stepped up to the plate, I think, after that first week. So
yeah, she's having a nice come up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this week, her performance. So to recenter, the queens were performing the Rusical. So the West End Wendy's this week. And I thought her as Meryl Streep, I thought she did really good. I was very impressed.
She did do a good job. I honestly thought that, like, she was just going to have that regular arc where she ends up in the bottom once and then ends up in the bottom again and then ends up in the bottom again and then gets sent home. But no, she's got a second lease in this competition and she is making the most of it. And the fact that she was able to like be in the top the day that Jimbo goes home when Jimbo was the one that would have eliminated her, I was just like, whoop.
Oh my gosh, I know. Yeah, that was the other weird thing of how Jimbo handled the lip sync from this past week. So Jimbo, you know, has been in the top twice and has has had to choose a lip sync twice. And for the second time has to confront the girl that she would have sent home because she didn't end up winning the lip sync. And it was just, it was incredibly entertaining TV. It was so awkward to watch.
Very awkward. Very awkward. But at least she was willing to play the game too, I guess.
No, I mean, that's true. Look, she was going to save her sister. That was the alliance. And then the whole, well, it's so funny. Maybe it's like the Big Brother fan in me, the Survivor fan in me, when it's like, you offered me an alliance. It's like, no, she said, if I remember correctly, it was, if I save you, will you save me?
Right.
Like, that was the deal. So it was conditional. It was conditional on if I save you.
Anyway. whoever she ends up saving, she's good. That's the point.
That's the deal that I'm making. Like, not the other one. But Jimbo is just I feel like, I don't know if she inherently knows that she is such great TV, if she's doing it on purpose or if it's just who she is. Look no further than the goodbye message that she left. I don't know if you saw it. It was so funny. It was like in all caps, my name is Pangina and I'm a stupid idiot. P.S. Yeah. I love you all. P.P.S. except Jimbo. It's so dramatic. It's so messy. I love it.
Yeah. And her exit line was great too. I'll get you, Rue, and your little dog too. I'm talking about you, Michelle.
Yeah. Okay. And then the other thing I think from this episode, AKA the season in general, is Bag of Chips throwing temper tantrums left and right about not getting the role that she wants and being all up in her head about it and just being kind of a spoiled brat.
Yeah. Look at Rue's favorites just acting out and showing their ass.
Yeah. So no comeuppance this week as Bagga is safe again, but yeah,
she's going to have to go. I need
that's
her to
the
go.
Thing. Yeah, I totally agree. I just don't know how much longer this can go on, you know?
I feel like, I think out of any of the UK queens that I'd be okay with winning this and coming out against the world, it would have to be Blue at this point. Because mm-hmm. Bagga, honey, mm-mm.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think Monique or Mo is starting to, you know, give us a little bit more. I think she's starting to be on an upward trend, which mm-hmm. is always nice. So I think that she's definitely got a spot to win as well. But obviously right now, yeah, like Pangina is the one to beat. With that being said, if Pangina ends up in the bottom and, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword, I would love to see that happen as well. So,
yeah, we could get a Manila. Will she self-eliminate? Lord knows. Like, she's going to pull it on herself to be like, oh, no, I can't. I'm a host. I can't give myself the win. I need to give another queen the win.
Yeah,
you
I just
want
to step out of the way and give these girls a shot.
Exactly.
Surprise, I was the mole. And then joins the judges panel. Like,
yeah, right. Just scoots on up there next to Graham. Like, I've been here the whole time. Okay. Any other thoughts about drag this week?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, perfect. Well, you already heard our plugs. So I think that does it for us. You can find Amon on social media at Amon Adwin. You can find me at Liana RHAP. If you would like to leave a star rating and review for us on iTunes, that would be super, super helpful. Helps people find the podcast and gets us, you know, out there, our name out there. There's a lot of Drag Race pods and we really appreciate you guys checking us out. You can do that at robhaswebsite.com/dragrace. Also, yeah, that's about it. No other promotions to talk about this week. So just a big shout out to Scott St. Pierre for all your help behind the scenes. And we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.